The NBA All-Star break is upon us, so it's time for a podcast. This time, with a little treat, got a special guest on the podcast, my brother, flesh and blood, Bone Thug style, on the other line. We're talking all about the All-Star game. Thank you for listening. Welcome to the Last Show podcast, because this may be it. Special guest today. Thank y'all for downloading, listening to the show, the Last Show podcast, hosted by yours truly. For the first time ever, got some help doing the show. My brother, all the way from DC in another state, DC on location, on location,
on location, DC.
What up, man?
DC chilling. Great, man. Hey, nothing much. Hanging out at the Crizzium, doing absolutely nothing. You know, it's an all-star tradition for me, all-star break tradition, to just Google, to DVR everything on NBA TV and slowly watch it back as my wife actually goes to work and does things. I sit home and watch NBA All-Star Media, so I'm way too informed about LeBron James, Kevin Durant, and even an Uncle Drew sighting. So just sitting back. Cool. Man, what's up with you?
Straight, man. Chilling like a rabbit villain. I would tell you to, you know, tell the people who you are, but honestly, it probably not going to really matter. That's what they do, like, on, like, I guess, like, you know, normal podcasts. And they'll be like, hey, you know, introduce yourself. And then someone talks about, you know, who they are, you know, whatever. I guess unless you're, like, right, famous, you know. You know, I guess then you can introduce yourself, and it sounds like cool, but most people introduce themselves, and they sound exactly like you. So just imagine that this is a dude up the street concealing a malt liquor beverage in a bag. That's who the show is. So anyways.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I'm the neighbor next door.
So, like, so this whole thing all started because I called you today, and you was like, yo, did you watch the rookie sophomore game last night? And I was a yes. And then I went into a Dion Waiters tirade. And then we stumbled upon King James himself, LeBron. And then you got unhinged like a bucking bull. Oh, and man. I said, oh, let's throw this on the podcast. So, LeBron, go.
LeBron James. I'm just going to do this like we're talking. I got so mad that I had to turn off one of my previously recorded NBA TV podcast, or not podcast, but shows. It was at the end of the show, but I also turned it off. Because if I hear one more thing about this Mount Rushmore thing, I swear I'm going to jump off a building. Like the whole Derek Jeter bandwagon of, you know, doing spring training and the entire season. Jeez. Of farewell program for him. Like, I understand that, but I'm already kind of getting sick of that, like a lot of other people are. And I'm definitely sick of this LeBron James thing. And the thing that made me most upset about it is that he didn't put Bill Russell on Mount Rushmore. I'm not the biggest Bill Simmons fan, but when a man writes half of a book about one person and puts every single step forward, that same person's gotten 11 NBA titles, including coaching and playing. And he put Larry Bird up there, who has 3 titles with the same team. It's egregious, as some might like to say. So, I don't know. So, once I just continue to hear him, oh, yeah, maybe I should throw Kareem on there. Ooh, I thought about Kobe. But you didn't think about Bill Russell, the guy whose number you wear? The guy, he switched to Bill Russell's number when he went to Miami. He hasn't even told, oh, I didn't think, oh, man, this number I have on my chest, I didn't even notice it. He was one of the greatest players of all time. He invented a statistic. Like, come on, man. It's just, I don't know. So that got me a little upset personally.
I guess for everybody, I mean, people that don't know, this idea of Mount Rushmore, it doesn't matter. Basically, you're for the best basketball players that you wanted. Because the idea of a Mount Rushmore is completely preposterous, because in the classic sense, you know, I think like Theodore Roosevelt is on the Mount Rushmore. Theodore Roosevelt, he don't have a high, is he on any money at all? He might be on
he did create jobs.
Is he on like the $2 bill or something? America. What is Theodore Roosevelt known for? Honestly. Teddy Roosevelt? Is Teddy Roosevelt and Theodore Roosevelt the same guy?
Say again?
Is Teddy Roosevelt and Theodore Roosevelt the same guy?
Yeah, they're the same guy.
Oh, they are?
Eleanor Roosevelt.
That's funny.
It's terrible.
I said,
just knows what we know about social studies.
I think he is on some money, but I said, what is Theodore Roosevelt known for? Teddy Roosevelt? I thought they were like brothers or something. Same guy. Anyway, but I don't even know like what Roosevelt did. I mean, I guess every city has like a Roosevelt High School, but I mean, that's about it. I mean, you know, so anyways, like Theodore Roosevelt.
Oh, no, that's the other one. There's another president, Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
I don't know who the hell that guy is either. What did he do?
Nicole Kidman can't rap. One of them was New Deal. Huh?
Nicole Kidman can't rap. I want justice. I'm not sure, but I guess in the classic sense of Mount Rushmore, if Theodore Roosevelt is on there, I mean, LeBron or anybody is not really putting together.
How did you find out that Theodore Roosevelt was on Mount Rushmore?
Theodore Roosevelt is on Mount Rushmore.
I don't know who's on Mount Rushmore. I'm going to go Lincoln.
Lincoln's on there. George Washington's on there.
Roosevelt and Riggedy Ryle.
TJ. TJ, Thomas Jefferson.
Thomas Jefferson. Confused with Thomas Edison, the really smart guy.
Yeah, it probably should have been Ben Franklin over Theodore Roosevelt, honestly. Thomas Jefferson, I understand. George Washington, I understand. Abraham Lincoln, obviously. Theodore Roosevelt? I'm sure I'm insulting him. Like, I bet Theodore Roosevelt, probably invented water or something like that. And I just have no idea, but I just, Theodore Roosevelt.
I have no clue. He could have done it. I'm a social studies teacher.
I'm about
teacher,
to Google him right
so
quick.
I should know these things. I know one is Square Deal, one is New Deal. This just in, I just got a breaking news. Obama says that he's going to knock somebody off Mount Rushmore. He said he don't know who it is. But
LeBron, somebody got to come off. Whatever, what did Theodore do?
Whenever Obama retires, he says somebody got to get knocked off.
I never said, this is the first time I've ever went to Theodore Roosevelt Wikipedia page. What the hell? What did he do? He went to Harvard Law. Nice.
There's a lot of there's some jobs.
I like that they put a profession on Wikipedia for Theodore Roosevelt. Like, I don't know what the hell he did. Like,
profession.
Profession.
Yeah. Is it just like
leader of the free world? It said politician, obviously. No. You know what I mean?
That's great. We're way off base.
What did he do?
He was a president, man. What else? I don't know.
The Naval War of 1812.
I keep trying to tell you, man.
Second marriage.
There was like a bunch of jobs. He created a bunch of jobs.
Governor, New York, vice
president.
Oh, he did foreign policy? Is that what he did? Foreign policy?
Oh, man. Look at his domestic policy.
Oh, he did domestic policy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he did both.
He did the largest railroad. He shouldn't be on Mount Rushmore. I think
we can all agree.
Isn't
the Tennessee Valley Authority or something he did?
Go to Theodore Roosevelt's Wikipedia page, and on the right side, they got pictures of Theodore Roosevelt. It's a picture of him, and the caption underneath it is in black and white. The caption underneath says, Roosevelt standing next to an elephant he shot on a safari. Ain't that like a trip kids go on for vacation? Did he just pull a pistol out and just shot an elephant, and took a picture next to it, like Jack Hanna?
What? Was he the one? I think he might have been the one.
he shot an elephant.
What does Jack Hanna do now? Does he still do Maury Povich on Wednesday?
Dude, I think the whole fighting rattlesnake game is on a decline ever since Homeboy got stung. Ever since the Aussie hunter got stung by them that stingray, that's been on the decline.
Still got I'm telling you, I think he's got a standing commitment to Maury Povich on Wednesdays once a month. I don't understand how Jack Hanna, when he get, when he signs the Maury Povich contract, you just got to shake your head. And him is like that pet monkey from Ace Ventura, Pet Detective.
What is Jack Hanna?
They're like, wringing their hand in their hands. Like, they're wringing their head in their hands. Like, how do we get here?
I understand, like, what is Jack Hanna, though?
We need the money for drugs.
In layman's term, what is Jack Hanna? Like, if you had to explain Jack Hanna to somebody, like, where would you start with the explanation? Like, I know he works at Busch Gardens, I guess, in Tampa. But that's, I don't even know if he works there. But, like, what is Jack Hanna exactly? Like, if you had to describe, if somebody was like, hey, man, well, describe Jack Hanna. Like, go.
He's a zoologist.
Oh. Well, I guess that's a quick explanation.
Which is interesting because the last that suffix or whatever you call it, the end of the ending ology is the study of. So is he just study zoos? I hope somebody can help us. This is not a downloadable podcast.
It's like a volcanology. Yeah, I don't know. Seems like a useless degree.
Yeah, he studies Vulcans.
So, anyways, the Theodore Roosevelt. So, like. So Mount Rushmore doesn't necessarily mean the best, which is, I mean, obviously that's why Theodore Roosevelt is on there. Because, I mean, foreign policy, I mean, it's nice, but, I mean, Abraham Lincoln freed the slave, George Washington, he created slaves, and Thomas Jefferson perfected the whole thing. Why is Theodore Roosevelt on the mountain? That's the question. So LeBron put on his so-called Mount Rushmore top five was Oscar Robinson, Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, and Michael Jordan. And that's before I went into this thing, that's what you're talking about, right?
Yeah.
So,
I kind of want your comments on it too, just kind of if you thought of anything about it, if you just didn't care. But the one thing I thought that's interesting, just kind of, it just in reflecting on it, is that what he's doing, it seems like, and what disappoints me about it, because he's supposed to be such a great person, or not person, but great player, it seems like he's making a straw man and knocking it down. Because honestly, as much as I may not put Larry Bird on there, his first three picks, Larry Bird, Michael Jordan, Magic Johnson, those are all three great picks. But then he kind of throws, let me throw Oscar Robinson in there. Like, let me throw somebody in there that I know I can knock off. So you make a straw man and you knock him down, basically, saying that, okay,
yeah,
we have to put
four. I mean, because, yeah, Oscar Robinson is the Theodore Roosevelt of that list.
Probably better than Oscar Robinson. Can't put Bill Russell on there.
I mean, Oscar Robinson's foreign policy was the triple-double season.
But you're saying, who, which one of those top four is he going to take off?
Yeah, Oscar Robinson.
Obviously, if you take Bird off and you start putting, and you put Kareem on there, now you're talking about you need six MVPs and you need six championships, and you got Bill Russell with 16. So unless you knock off, I mean, at that point, you know, Magic Johnson becomes the low man. You know, so I don't know. That's what I kind of thought when I heard it, and that's why it kind of peeved me off.
But why the frustration now? If you said, well, he was talking about it again today. Like, well, why now? That was like 5 days ago, right? Because in an interview that's going to be on NBA TV, that priming this interview like an old lawnmower.
they prime this interview like Ted Turner would if he was running the $1 billion company.
Yeah,
that's how they did it. Yeah, so what do you do? But yeah, that's true. I got pissed off because, or upset, I should say. I got upset because not only did he do it and everybody talked about it all week, which it kind of was a good topic.
I mean, it's news.
They talk about ESPN sucks. But then he redid it and said, oh, maybe I shouldn't have thrown Oscar Robinson on there. Let me get some other guy I might be able to knock off. Oh, throw Kareem on there. And Kareem is just, I shouldn't say laughable. But compared to Bill Russell, he's just as laughable as Oscar Robinson. So I just was upset that he seemed like he's supposed to be. Everybody talks about LeBron, and just generally these guys nowadays are like, this is what they like to say is they're students of the game. I'm talking way too much. You should be talking more. But they say they're students of the game. And if you're a student of the game, the first person on any list, top five, Bill Russell, and then we can go from there. But Bill Russell's got to be number one. And if you want to put Mike or Magic, okay, fine. But you don't go to number three before you put Bill Russell, and you really shouldn't go past number one. So that's what really upset me about it.
Yeah, I mean, I never buy the student of the game thing, especially when like LeBron came in, like, you know. Yeah, I guess that's a long time ago, but, you know, obviously being a Cavalier fan, like, the first, basically, the lost years of his career. I mean, some people may even still refer to him, but, like, the Cavalier years when they was like, oh, he's so smart, he's such a student of the game, and he studies old Oscar Robertson tapes to take. Who the hell is studying Earl Monroe doing anything? I mean, he had two spin moves. He was a very great player. But that's like somebody telling me, oh, you know, I do comedy, you know, oh, well, who do you study? Oh, Moms Mabley. I mean, I really like Moms Mabley and Flip Wilson. I study all of their moves.
But you probably have studied Flip Wilson and Moms Mabley.
No, I mean, I got the album, but I'm not, you know, sitting at home going through it with a fine-tooth comb to figure out what did Moms Mabley know that I don't understand now. Nothing. I mean, honestly, that's something you say when you want publicity. So the whole idea of him being a historian and the idea that he would leave Bill Russell off the list even though he's wearing Bill Russell's number, it doesn't surprise me. But I mean, it's not like a hit on LeBron, because it seems like in an interview he kind of got ambushed with the question, or not ambushed, but I'm pretty sure like he forced him into like answering this. He was like, ah, come on, give me four people. I think he just named four, and he got to the end. Oscar Robertson. And he just threw it out there. You know what I mean?
I just don't get it, man. That's really weird. It's like I don't know. What's your favorite sandwich? I don't know, man. I really don't want to talk about that. Just tell me what's your favorite sandwich. I don't know. The McFish. Like no, you don't say that, fish. Man. Like,
yep, I mean, that's kind of what it is. It's like, you know, maybe name your four favorite sandwiches, and you're like, oh, you know, ham and cheese, peanut butter and jelly, corned beef. Yeah, you need a fourth. God. Ooh. The McFish. And you throw it out there. You don't think it's going to come back. And all of a sudden, everybody's weighing in on the McFish. Why the McFish? McFish is the Theodore Roosevelt of fish sandwiches. So many sandwiches better than the McFish. You got the grouper sandwich. What the hell did the McFish ever do?
There's so many sandwiches inside Nicole Kimmy can't rap alone that are better than the McFish. Yeah.
Yeah, I know, right?
McFish is not even the name of that sandwich.
It's not even fish. It's not real fish. It's not a fish substance. It's not fish. It's not fish in the sandwich.
It's a fish substance.
It's been documented that it's not fish.
We should ask Jack Hanna what the McFish is made of.
Asian women make those fish out of paper mache in Japan. I know it. It's not fish.
Ooh.
So anyways.
Ooh, Asia jokes.
Anyways, so the whole thing. I mean, I don't know. I guess we briefly talked about this, and that's when I said, well, I guess we could just throw it on the podcast and, you know, I get to talk to the people. But obviously, Bill Russell, I'm not going to say Bill Russell should definitely be on the
list.
What's
your top five? Give me your top four real quick. Your Mount Rushmore, quote unquote.
You know what's funny? I actually talked about this on the last show. Thank you for listening. My Mount Rushmore.
I want you to remind the people. I listen.
But my Mount Rushmore, if you're talking about Mount Rushmore, honestly, is James Naismith, is George Mikan, is Bill Russell, and then I would say maybe somebody like, I don't even know, I think I might have said, see, now I'm trying to remember what I said. You know what? I think I said like Bill Russell and Red Auerbach. I think that was like the Mount Rushmore, but that's not necessarily... You know what? David Stern might have been on there. You can sell me on a lot of people.
Right. I think it was
but if you're talking about, you're talking about Mount Rushmore in the classic sense, like James Naismith would have to, but that's not what this is about. This is about your top four basketball players. The top four, it probably would be Bill Russell, Kareem, Jordan, and you know what? I put Magic on there. Like, that would be my four. And Magic is an easy one for me to bump off because... I mean, great guy, gregarious, the whole nine, but he's a point guard that didn't play any defense. This is nice. But he was great, though, and he definitely changed the position. But that would be the guy that LeBron would knock off if you're looking to knock somebody off. Because to think that LeBron's not better than Magic Johnson is completely bogus. Anybody that thinks that is nuts. LeBron is basically, not basically – He's almost a spitting image of Magic Johnson, but like a thousand times better. He's about the same passer.
Okay, you know what? Okay, you know, we're gonna need to call out some biases. First of all, I do listen to the Pod Beans. Second of all,
it's not called the Pod Beans.
How much of this?
Don't give those people any credit. They took $5 of my money already.
Is based off of how much of this is based off of your discontent with Magic Johnson's broadcasting career?
Oh, Magic Johnson stinks. As a broadcaster, he stinks. He's about as interesting and as wet paint. Magic Johnson is awful, dude. I mean, he's awful. But it has nothing to do with his game. I mean,
if you had to hear somebody commentate a dunk contest, would you go with Isaiah Thomas or Magic Johnson?
Oh, man. They're both horrible. I'd probably go with Isaiah Thomas.
Push.
They're both bad, though. But the thing about it is the Magic
whoever's
thing,
cheaper, which right now is probably Isaiah Thomas.
You know, and I mean, I know you rag on LeBron's on-ball defense, which is fine. But he's a better defender.
He's a terrible on-ball
defense. He's better defender than Magic Johnson. And then, Magic played all four positions. Whatever, dude. Magic Johnson never in I don't know about college, but never in the NBA.
But he also's got, what, 5 championships?
So what? You know who was on all 5 of those teams?
4 MVPs, I think.
You know who was on all 5 of those teams? The all-time leading scorer in the NBA. That's who was on all 5 of those teams. It's nice.
He was on all of those teams?
Yeah. If LeBron was playing with Kareem, he'd probably have 5-2. I mean, come on. Like, enough with this. And the other thing about Magic is that he's not the defender LeBron is. And you can say LeBron's bad, but he still ain't as good as LeBron is. On top of that, he's not the scorer that LeBron is. And the big thing, he couldn't shoot. Like, a lot of people say, he turned himself into a decent shooter, but he still couldn't shoot the ball. I mean, LeBron James is a better basketball player and more dominant than Magic. You can argue that there was no time in Magic's career when he was the best player in the NBA. Like, you can argue that and not sound crazy. You can't argue that about LeBron. I mean, you got Larry Bird in that era. You got Kareem in that era. And both of those guys, people could argue that were better than Magic Johnson. So Magic Johnson would be the first one I'd take off that list.
I mean, so you would say that, but at the same time, we're embarking on a year right now where Kevin Durant is clearly better than LeBron James. I mean, I don't want to say clearly. Maybe not clearly.
He's having a better season.
It's debatable.
He's having a better season.
But he's better than LeBron James this year. So
yeah, that's one out of 5.
But I'm just saying, and he also lost the MVP to Derrick Rose. You actually
he was better than Derrick Rose.
But you also thought that Derrick Rose should have lost that MVP to Dwight Howard that year. So there were two people arguably.
Dwight Howard should have won that MVP that year. Derrick Rose shouldn't have won. Dwight Howard probably should have won the MVP.
There was two people that year that were better than him.
No, I disagree. Neither one of them were better than him.
There was one person better.
There was zero people better than him. But I mean, okay, let's say that. Okay, let's say I can see. So 2 out of the last 5 years, you can argue that there was. Or was that 5 years? Yeah, you got 4. Yeah, this would be 6. So 2 out of the last 6 years, you can argue there was somebody in the league better than him. You can't argue that about Magic. You can't. So, I mean, it's nice.
Yeah, I mean, I think I would agree with you that the first person to go off of that particular list
it's Magic.
Would be Magic Johnson.
It's Magic Johnson.
So I could see that. But right now, it's like LeBron right now is at Wilt Chamberlain level. Social media changes so much, but he's got 2 championships. He's been a phenomenal all around. He's been a phenomenal all around player. He's been a dominant player. He's kind of, he's at Wilt Chamberlain level. Well, he'll kind of be in 30 years if he never won anything else. He'll just be like this mythological creature that everybody knows about. Hey, honestly, like Oscar Robertson, which is why it kind of brings us back and why I think he put him on there in the first place. He's kind of at that level. I remember talking to somebody else, and I was like, look, man, LeBron's so good. Why does he need to get any more championships? And it's the fact that he's so good that if he doesn't get more championships, like, what happened? And in 30 years, if he doesn't have more than just these 2 championships, he's going to be this mythological creature that everybody else is going to talk about. And we'll even probably talk to our kids and say, honestly, whoever's new, Andrew Wiggins, I don't know, whoever's new,
LeBron James was 100,000 times better than that guy. You know, he went 25 straight at the end of the Detroit game. Like, we'll talk about all these mythological things that somebody will be able to YouTube. So, I don't know. It's, it's just kind of interesting.
Yeah, but, I mean, then again, why can – if you're going to say – who is that? Yeah, Oscar Robinson. I mean, by that notion, there's a lot of people in between him and Oscar. I feel like Isaiah Thomas is higher up than Oscar Robinson, but no one's – but you know what? No one ever talks about Isaiah Thomas. So, hell.
No one ever talks about Isaiah Thomas. I think
– even though Isaiah Thomas was the OG – Isaiah Thomas was actually better player in the league while none other than Magic was in the league. Isaiah Thomas, the original OG. But,
This will be five, by the way, for LeBron. This will be five, by the way, for LeBron if he wins. You said it was about to be six, but this will be five, just FYI.
This will be his fifth MVP?
Yeah, this will be his fifth.
If he wins, though. But so then it'll be 6 years. He lost one.
Out of 6 years. I'm sorry.
So two out of 6 years. And I mean, and you know, so, but I mean, it's a valid point. I think.
All right, real quick, we're gonna dig because this is Cleveland, and I don't know. I may have to go, and I know you do your podcast pretty short, so I don't wanna hold the people too long who are out there, even though I'm having a freaking blast. Just kind of All-Star Game reflections. Just kind of, I don't know. What are you looking forward to, if anything? Does anything kind of pop out to you? And then want to do a parting shot real quick on your boy Kyrie Irving. This might be like just the running note. We might just do his career as we do this podcast. I'm just interested, kind of, I don't know, just reflections on the All-Star game and then maybe some on Kyrie.
Reflection on the All-Star game.
Yeah, just kind of something you're looking forward to or something.
You know what? I'm looking forward to everything. I'm looking forward to every event, including, you know, the dunk contest. I'm looking forward to the whole thing. I don't think, I mean, I know people are like, oh, you know, the dunk contest, you know, whatever, but, I'm looking forward to it because there are people in the contest that I actually think are worth watching. So it's something that, you know, I want to watch, you know, I think Paul George could be interesting. I mean, he was actually in the dunk contest before. I think Paul George could be really good. Yeah. It'd be interesting to see, you know, even John Wall. I mean, he's fast. I mean, but can he dunk? That's the question. Yeah. And
he has the patented dunk that we've already seen 1,000 times. At least I have, where he does the where he puts the ball behind his back. So I know that's coming out at some point. Uh-huh. It's kind of like a 180 ball behind the back. So. I called it here.
And it'll be interested to see. I'll be interested to see if Damian Lillard can dunk at all. I'd be interested to see that. Yeah, never seen him do it.
About Damian Lillard, I don't know. Maybe, I don't. It's weird.
And who else? You know what? Ben McLemore is in it too. You know what? This just honestly, just all in all, is a good dunk contest. I wish they wouldn't do a weird format. I'm interested in the 3-point too. I'm interested. I'm interested in the 3-point.
It's a good field this year. In the past years,
it's a great field.
Pono wins. It's a great field.
Ray Allen's not in it though, right? Where is he? Wow. I think it's like K Love,
he's like 1-3
Kyrie.
I don't know if
Steph Curry's in it though.
Yeah.
Yeah, Steph, K Love.
I'm just gonna say yes to whatever. I'm just gonna say yes to
Lillard.
Whatever.
Lillard's in it.
Yeah.
Kyrie's in it. It's a couple other dudes up in there too. But I'm interested in the whole thing. I'm going to watch the All-Star game, but I hope it does turn into a one-on-one matchup between LeBron and Durant, because that's just what I want to see.
Is that we saw that matchup earlier, and me talking about that on-the-ball defense. Kevin Durant is a buck 15 soaking wet, and dog, he had that dude on the string. Like, that was disappointing. So, honestly, as much as I'd like to see that, because I think KD will win that battle. And every time he wins one of those battles, it just looks so good. Because he ends up pulling up from 30. He ends up just pulling up from, like, half court. Or, like, even with Steph Curry. Like, Steph Curry does so good. And LeBron James, such a great defender. Well, actually, he crossed over Mario Chalmers at the end of the game, not LeBron. So, I don't know. But, yeah, I just think his ability to shoot the ball from long distance is just it kills that whole argument, because at some point he just pulls up and LeBron can't nobody do nothing about that unless you guard him full court. I mean, it's just bad.
Yeah, we'll see. So, Yeah, I'm interested. I'm interested in, yeah, I mean, I'm interested in the entire thing, but probably, I mean, it could be exciting, dude, because the three-point contest can never be bad. Like, the three-point contest is, like, foolproof. It can never be bad. I mean, it's tough because, I mean, unless nobody makes any shots, but that just doesn't happen.
Well, you know they're doing a rule change? You know they're doing a rule change this year?
Yeah, where you can put, like, all money balls on one rack. Yeah, that's next
we
level.
Research for this show. It's not just totally. Yeah, we research for this show. Yeah, so that's kind of interesting. Kevin Love talked to yesterday, and he was like, I still don't even know where I'm going to put him. I'm probably just going to see what I feel like. And he's defending his thing because he wasn't there last year. He hurt his hand or whatever. So. What I'm interested in seeing is I think what could be a breakout performance in a good way, but then be really tough for him for the rest of the season, actually is Anthony Davis.
Anthony Davis. Good, man. Interesting. Why you say that?
Seems like I'm not exactly sure what his rating is. I don't know if he's underrated, properly rated, or overrated. And I think if he has a good showing here, that it's going to be a good chance for him to kind of really build his brand, right? Like, you know, this is what happened with Blake Griffin.
Brand thing.
You know, 2-3 years ago, before he even jumped over the car, when he won the first dunk contest and Dwight Howard was in it doing ridiculous stuff like he does. And he won it, and I don't know. Anthony Davis he doesn't really seem that polished when he talks, but he seems to be a hell of a basketball player. I sent you his splits, and he upped his points last year, I think from like 13 his first year to 20 this year. Like, he's averaging 20. Even on a bad team, I mean, that's pretty consistent. He's averaging like 3 points.
Well, not horrible. I mean, they're not horrible. They're just bad.
I got a feeling that he's the type of player, though, that he played with Team USA. He's used to being around these guys long term. And I think that he could really have a breakout showing. I don't know. I could be totally wrong, obviously. Hate to put that caveat in, but I'm interested.
You know what's funny?
And he's a guy, too, that can catch 1,000 alley-oops, you know, from Chris Paul or whoever. He can block somebody's shot once or twice and, you know, maybe even bring the ball up as a big man. I don't know. Maybe he'll even guard LeBron a couple times. Like, I just feel like his skill set is weird enough that he could have a great game, which in a weird way would put a lot of pressure on him for the rest of his career to be like, what happened in the All-Star game? We saw him play well. I don't know. It's just weird.
I don't know if it'll add pressure.
You saw him play last night. What'd you think of him?
You know, the game last night was horrible, that rookie sophomore game. It just wasn't a good game.
Way to be honest.
It wasn't a good game. It just wasn't a good game. I mean, it was an All-Star game, but even for All-Star games, NBA, it just wasn't a good game. However, Anthony Davis, you can go over to comedicpros.com. I did a piece on the top 10 performers so far this year. Anthony Davis was on the list. I mean, and I wasn't necessarily trying to, you know, be shocking or make a statement, but I did a top 10, and I put Anthony Davis as the eighth. Not the eighth best player, but the eighth rated player as far as how well they've been this year. I put him number 8. I mean, he's averaging 21-10, and he leads the league in blocks. At 26 efficiency rating. So Anthony Davis is an elite player in the NBA this year. He's an elite player. That's, I mean, great. He's healthy. He's an elite. The other thing about him is
I thought Goran Dragic might have jumped him, but I guess they were missing it. I mean, technically – Kobe's a front court player.
Yeah, Dragic is interesting because like when him and Bledsoe were together for that little bit, he was great. He was good. But when he left, he kind of like was really good, and then the last like 3 weeks have been like great. So, but Anthony Davis has been great the entire time. It's great. I mean, he does everything. I mean, he's almost like he's almost like Kevin Garnett all over again, really. It's like it reminds me of that. Can do basically everything on the floor. So I think he'll have a great game, but he doesn't have the type of like game or personality that seems like he'll just try to, you know, take over like Kyrie. I mean, you know, that's coming. Kyrie will dribble. That's one thing I can say. Kyrie Irving will dribble. That way he might dribble during a 3-point contest. You got to watch him close. I mean, dude, like he loves him some Kyrie. Loves him dribbling. He will dribble. So
we should have a drinking competition every time that Kyrie Irving tries to cross someone over. Every time Kyrie Irving does a sham grab, we should have to take a drink. Regular season game.
He'll probably try to cross somebody over, you know, in the layup line. There's no one even guarding you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm not worried about that.
Yeah, so. So, yeah, but I'm excited to see Anthony Davis. And I think that is one thing, even like referencing to someone like Kyrie, who gotten a lot of praise young in his career for two reasons. Yeah. One reason, he was hurt so much in college, no one really got to see him play. The other reason is he played for the Cleveland Cavaliers, and the media somewhat was so wanted to rebuild the Cavaliers overnight in a way. And it was a good storyline. It's this really good player that can really dribble and this, this, and this. And the other thing is because of Uncle Drew. The Uncle Drew Pepsi thing is a fantastic brand. It's fantastic. So he got voted into the All-Star game by the fans. And if you're in your third year getting voted in by the fans, you're probably going to get voted in for now on, no matter what, almost. I mean, damn, you basically have to be injured or fall off. I can't think of the last guy that was like a fan favorite and then just stopped getting voted in after being a fan favorite early in his career. I mean, you know, hell, yeah. Carmelo Anthony, well, you know, did he get voted as a starter?
Well, actually, what's interesting, kind of got me thinking about him, was that, no, he got voted in by the fans. What got me thinking about
D Wade? Didn't he get voted in by the fans too?
He got voted in by the fans too.
I mean, D Wade, he doesn't even play.
Chris Paul is one guy though that I think got voted in either early or late, and he's been in both as a reserve and as a reserve, meaning voted by the coaches, and also as a fan vote. So I know that's one guy. Whether one happened and then the other, I'm not exactly sure what that trajectory was. But I actually thought about him because I was like, man, I wonder if Kyrie Irving would get voted in as a reserve if he ever had to.
Well, he got voted in as a reserve last year. So,
I mean, who did?
Kyrie Irving, yeah. He was a reserve last year.
You know what? See, I can't. Maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. Yeah. Maybe you're right then.
Yeah, he was voted in as a reserve last year.
Yeah. I don't know. That team should be better though, right? I mean, should they be?
You the watch Cavaliers?
Them. You know, we could end the cast right there with that. I just want to know your
opinion. Okay.
Shouldn't that team be better?
In that cast, should the Cavaliers? Yeah, I guess I gotta think about that. Even though I watch every game, I probably missed three games. No, I might have missed like four games. And out of those four games, I listened to two of them on the radio. So
every game on your cell phone.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I watch every game. Hey, let me tell you something. The NBA League Pass is a joke. They're trying to gyp you. Buy NBA League Pass on your phone. It's only $50. Get a converter for your TV. That's $30. And then next thing you know, that's $80. You can use that for baseball season. And it's just more money. Don't be spending that money. But the Cavs shouldn't be better than what they are, but they should have a better record. But when you watch them play, it's a young basketball team and everybody has their own agenda. Yeah, I mean, I guess you can throw that on coaching. But, you know, I mean, it's Mike Brown's first year. I don't think Mike Brown's a great coach, but
it's Mike Brown's first year? Ain't it like his sixth year? What are you talking about?
No, it's his first year with this team, you know?
Yeah, but he had to get acclimated to Cleveland again. I think he was still leasing out a place. He was subleasing a place, man.
There's only one person on his team that he actually coached before.
Okay, I love how you're beating around the bush. Should the team be better?
The record should be better. I mean, you can't. I mean, you lose to the Lakers. They had seven players. I mean, yes. I mean, the record should be better.
They have four players. They lost to four players.
The record should be better. I mean, the record should be better. And I mean, the GM got fired, and then I mean, they've won like three or four straight. They won four straight now. Since the GM got fired, and that's indicative not of the job the GM does. That's indicative of the players. The players play harder since the GM got fired, which is a symptom, I believe, of having
that's
a young team.
Weird, though, right?
Huh?
Is that just assuming, like, I don't know. Is that maybe they're playing for Mike Brown? Maybe they're saying we don't want our coach to get fired? Because that's weird, because they don't even see the GM every day, right? Like, that's a pretty weird thing.
Yeah, I think it might be a symptom of having a young team, though, because basically Everybody that starts outside of Luol Deng now, and Jared Jack, I guess, or not even Jared Jack too. Everybody outside of Luol Deng was brought in by in the last 3 years by that GM, which is a recipe for a toxic environment, by the way. Bringing in everybody on your team in 3 years, that's a recipe for toxicity. Yeah. Okay, I mean, yeah. Only person that Chris Grant didn't bring in, Anderson Varejao, and I guess, you know, Alonzo G. That's it. He brought in Jared Jack. He brought in Earl Clark, Tristan Thompson, Kyrie, Tyler Zeller, Deion Waiters, Jared. All these guys. All these guys. Who the hell did you just say?
Luol Deng.
Oh, yeah. Luol Deng. He brought in all these guys. So up until this point, being a young team, and not to make excuse, but it's the fact, being a young team, you never really see anybody get fired. I mean, you seen Byron Scott get fired, but it's like, yeah, you know, Byron Scott, whatever, whatever. Coaches get fired. But the GM getting fired by the owner, that's the first time you actually seen a consequence for the way you played. Cleveland had expectations this year, and they're below expectations. They're not a good basketball team.
It should be
team.
Stated that they're currently on a 4-game win streak. They just beat the Wizards, the Grizzlies, the Kings, and the Pistons.
Yeah.
But what's difficult is
before and it's gonna
that,
get it's probably I mean, gonna get to six.
They were 16-33.
Yeah.
And now they're 16-33, so those four wins bring them to 20-33. I don't know.
Magic, so. Oddly enough, they're 3 games out of the playoffs. Which means nothing, but that streak is probably going to get to 6 because they play the 76ers and the Magic the next 2 games. So it's like that could easily get to 6.
They play the Raptors and they play the Wizards again. They have the opportunity. They play the 76ers, the Magic, the Raptors, the Wizards, and then they play the Raptors again. So if they can get.
But then they play like OKC or something
one of
like
those
that.
Raptors tilts. If they can get one of those Raptors, they could end up, you know, 3-2 in that particular stretch.
You're the ninth seed.
Yeah, 3-2 in that particular stretch. That's not so bad.
And then, I mean, yeah, and then you're the ninth seed with probably, what, 25 games left, 20 games left? I mean, you can conceivably make the playoffs, which is crazy to think. But,
They play the Thunder after that. They're not going to win that game.
Yeah, that's going to be a loss.
Russell Westbrook might even be back. They're not going to be. But then they play the Jazz, so that could be a win because Trey Burke isn't.
Yeah,
enough.
I mean they can, they still have a chance. Obviously I'm a Cavalier fan.
West Coast trip and that's gonna be brutal on them.
Yeah, that's something.
So they really need to, go like 3-2 over that break. They need to make sure they're 3-2 over those first 5 games back, all East Coast games, before they go on that West Coast trip.
Yeah.
Then you're just waiting to play the Jazz or the Suns or something and see if you can get a win. While you have to go up against the Thunder and the Grizzlies and the Spurs every day.
So, I mean, got like 17 or 16 wins right now?
20. They got 20 now.
Oh, they got 20 wins. So, I think if they get to 35 wins, Mike Brown probably saves his job and everything continues next year.
With 35 wins in the East, they could make an 8 spot.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, that could definitely get you to 9.
Mike Brown keeps his job regardless. The thing that's difficult, though, is y'all going to mess around being a lottery again. And if y'all in the lottery again, that means they're going to take another number one pick. And then y'all got somebody else for Deion Waiters to fight with in the locker room. I don't know.
That's
just
not good.
Been no real consistency. And, I mean, how do you build a locker room without consistency?
I feel like it's an easy fix. And I was talking to somebody about this because the Cavaliers don't pay anybody. I mean, it's nice to say, oh, they're in a jam, but they're really not. The toughest part about not paying anybody, though, is making things match up when you make trades because you got to take money back. But the bottom line is the Cavs pay nobody. The highest paid player on the team is Anderson Varejao. That's it. I mean, Anderson Varejao and Jared Jack, I mean, they pay nobody. So I say that to say, like, if you do draft a young guy or whatever, you want to get rid of Waiters or whoever it is, I think it's fairly easy to do. So they still got a lot of flexibility. Now, when these contracts start coming up, like Tyler Zeller and all these, you know, dudes that ain't that great or Tristan Thompson, all those guys, once they start making $8 million, $7, $10, I mean, then you start getting stuck. And next thing you know, you're the Milwaukee Bucks. So I think Deion Waiters has to probably get traded. I like the guy, but, you know, they need to see. If he ain't going to get with the program and he want to fight everybody, then, I mean – he'll be good on another team. It's, I mean, even if it was Philadelphia.
I think that Kyrie Irving is primed and ready to leave in 2 years and go to L.A. if y'all don't fix it quick. And as crazy as that sounds, like, I think because Kobe's going to be gone, all them contracts, Pau Gasol, whoever, all them guys are going to be expiring, and they're going to be looking for a big superstar. And all it's going to be is a Chris Paul situation where they say, yeah, we can't pay you as much as them, but I can tell you, if you come out here, you're going to be, we're going to get you some State Farm commercials, we're going to get you some Kia commercials.
Yeah.
You're going to be out here, and you're going to be able to make that money back in media sales. And what really it means is that in the interim, Cleveland's got to figure out how to get some stability. And I don't think moving Deion Waiters is good. I think it's a nice, quick move, but you're basically losing points and you're losing production for what? Who are you going to bring off the bench? So you're going to start Jared Jack?
Yeah.
Jared Jack don't like him either, and Jared Jack's even worse.
That's true.
You can't pull that. You can't pull that trigger that quick. You got to try to build around what you have and get some more consistency. Luol Deng probably is going to roll out if y'all don't make the playoffs, you know. So I mean, you got to try to get more guys in. You can't lose good players at this point.
I know.
At this
point, I mean, that's the thing. I guess if you traded Deion Waiters,
you trade him for somebody. I mean, what can you get back for him? Can you get
if you traded Deion Waiters for some for veteran? I mean, that'd probably be that'd be the best option, really. If you could trade a young guy for a veteran guy, because they kind of lack that veteran moxie, leadership, whatever you want to call it. But, I mean, like I thought coming into this year, and they still have a chance, I did think they were going to make the playoffs this year. Didn't think it was that many good teams. But, so you move beyond that. Like, next year, regardless, even if worst case scenario, they get another lottery pick, they're probably going to make the playoffs next year. It just happens. I mean, the Charlotte Bobcats may make it this year. It just happens. So you got to move past that and think, how do you want the team to be built?
Charlotte Bobcats aren't going to make it this year.
And it, huh?
Charlotte Bobcats aren't going to make it.
A bad team is going to make it this year. Maybe two.
Okay, no.
It's going to be it's either going to be the Cavs. It's going to be the Cavs, the Bobcats, or the Knicks. The Cavs, the Bobcats, and Knicks. One of them bad teams is going to make it.
Maybe the Pistons, maybe, or something.
Or the Pistons.
No, it's probably going to be the Hawks, right?
The Hawks. Aren't the Hawks already in? I think the Hawks are already in the playoffs right now.
No, you're going to have Miami, Indiana. Going down from there, you got Chicago, you got the Hawks, you got the Wizards, that's five, you got six, seven, eight, so you got the Hawks, and then you got Toronto, and who else? I don't know. Who. So you're saying maybe a bad team?
At the bottom,
did I say the Nets yet?
No, the bottom ten of that division is Charlotte, Detroit, the New York Knicks, and Cleveland. That's the bottom of that 8, 9, 10, and 11 spots. Brooklyn is at the 7th seed.
Charlotte ain't going to make it. Charlotte ain't
going to
make it.
Well, I mean, a bad team is going to make it. A bad team is going to make it. I mean, and the bad team could be Cleveland. So, we'll see. The bottom line is they got flexibility. I mean, but this next move, next trade, next acquisition, the next thing they spend money on will decide what happens for the next 3 years. It is. So, it's the biggest move, which is a good reason to fire your GM if you don't feel like he's doing the job. So there it is. You know what, though?
Next time we'll
Anthony Bennett may be good, which could change things, too. If Anthony Bennett is actually a starting NBA player, that can change things. Because all
of
us.
By the way, I can't even really hurt you on that because I was looking at some of the other top 20 picks, and they were all bad.
Oh, they stink.
Muhammad's no good. Otto Porter doesn't exactly play. Victor Oladipo, he might be rookie.
He's okay.
He's
rookie of the year.
There's a lot of bad players. Trey Burke, obviously. Trey Burke ends up being conversation. That's how bad they are.
Trey Burke is bad.
So, I mean.
But shout out to Bumani Jones. But whenever Anthony Bennett had that last game, he sent out a tweet. He was like, oh, Bennett, you know, actually having a good game. And it made me look at the old draft. He was like, man, that was a clunker. He was like, that draft was a clunker. But you start looking at the picks, and it doesn't make you feel that bad. You know, Ben McLemore has not been good. He's been bad.
Crazy.
And you look at this list, and, you know, Nerlens Noel doesn't play. Oladipo. I'm looking at the list right now, and, like, three of these people actually start in the NBA. Three. And only one of them is really good, which is Michael Carter Williams. But three of them actually.
Nobody called that.
Yeah, no one knew that.
So.
No one knew that. And I mean, so Victor Oladipo, if he could come back to haunt him, but I know this. I seen Victor Oladipo and Deion Waiters playing that game yesterday. Deion Waiters is much better than Victor Oladipo. Much better. Much better.
Yeah, what we didn't see in that game is Anthony Bennett playing.
That's, Anthony Bennett, he didn't actually play. He's a late bloomer.
Exactly play. He's a late
That's
bloomer.
What we call it.
Yeah. That's what we call when you don't take your warm-ups off sometimes. Late yeah. bloomer.
So.
All right, man.
We'll see, man.
Anything else?
Nah, that's it.
You know what? I might call you back. This is gone, I think, longer than all your stuff is gone. It looks like we're at 49 minutes right now, which is kind of cool. Maybe I'll edit it up, take out some of the Jack Hanna stuff.
I'm not editing up anything. That's the great thing about the Last Show podcast. I don't actually do any work. I just post it. It'll be on YouTube, too.
Hopefully, I'm invited back.
I'll put it on YouTube.
There you go.
And then it'll be posted, but I just post it. However it comes out, I post it. Because I'm not going to actually do work. This is not what I do. This is leisure. Like, I'm not going to sit up here and, you know, edit and cut down. No. I'm just going to post it. And you fast forward.
I was thinking I want to be invited. By 2017, my big goal is, if we keep doing this podcast, my big goal is that I'd like to be invited to the All-Star Game in 2017.
The problem
I think that I have enough to say that they just want me to interview. Like, I just want to hold the mic. I want to have a credential so I can have a press pass and just be like, oh, man, I don't know. I don't know who is somebody yelling at her. I want to ask LeBron a question because I'm gonna go way off the beaten path. You know, I'm gonna go a little off the beaten path. How much do you think I can bench? That's what I want to ask. I'm gonna go a little off the beaten path. 315.
As best in show, ladies and gentlemen. Take that home with you.
Deadlift 500. Anyways, man, so...
All right, man. Well...
But yeah, man. Thanks for having me, dog.
No problem, man. For me... Oh, no. For my brother, this is Courtney Shane Williams. Thanks for listening to the Last Show podcast. The podcast has moved. It's now on comedicpros.com. So, if you want to subscribe, there's a link up right now. You can subscribe directly to the feed, or you can subscribe on iTunes. Click the subscribe link. Don't believe that there's no new episodes. Just click subscribe and figure out how the heck everything is working with the transition over. Also, check out the YouTube page, youtube.com/KShaneComedy. All the podcasts should be up on that YouTube page, in addition to some funny videos. And you can check out my website. And if you're in Seattle, February 23rd, I got a show down at the Comedy Underground at 8:30. Check it out.
Man, that's crazy. I'm going to be here the next week. I wish I'd have known.
Interesting, but, yeah. Thanks for listening to the show. You don't actually listen to the show. All right, take it easy. Peace.
All right, bro.